A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, a vital resource for South Dakota's future.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Senate Taxation Committee. And would the Secretary please call the roll?
Frisley?
Here.
Hunstead? Maher? Nelson?
Here.
Nygaard? Lederman?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
There is a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting? Moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Nelson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. See, I think, first of all, let me introduce our pages. We have Peter Delgado from Laura Brule and Shonda Anton from Cologne. And also serving us as our intern is Robbie Canas from Clear Lake. Those of you who are going to be testifying, please be sure that you have signed the register back there by the door. And with that, we will begin our hearing with House Bill 1209. In fact, this is the only bill that we will have on our agenda for today. This is an act to exempt certain parts and components used in the construction of home-built aircraft from sales and use taxes. May we have our first proponent.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Representative. Welcome to Senate Tax.
Thank you for having me. My name is Fred Romkema, District Representative from District 31, Lawrence County. I'm here speaking in support of House Bill 1209, which deals with taxation as it applies to home-built aircraft. I have some people who drove through some pretty difficult weather who wish to testify, and I'll stand aside and let them testify and offer comments if needed later.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Certainly, Representative. Further proponents of House Bill 1209. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Randy Sackey from Spearfish. I'm speaking on my own behalf, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present this to you this morning. So that we may better understand this issue, I'd like to begin by giving you a brief explanation of funding for airports and the Department of Aeronautics in South Dakota. The Department of Aeronautics is funded by taxes on fuel sold for use in aircraft, original registration taxes on aircraft purchased for use in the state, and by annual registration fees on aircraft. The income is used to match federal dollars that come from the U.S. Department of Transportation. Federal monies are also generated by user fees in the form of a tax on fuel used in aircraft and taxes on airline seats. Little, if any, general fund money is used to fund aviation on either the state or the federal level. Aviation infrastructure is funded by taxes paid primarily by users of the system and not by the general population. Because of that basic philosophy, we have segregated the taxes on aircraft and aviation activities from the general sales and use tax in South Dakota. The way we have done that is through South Dakota Codified Law 5011-19, and you should all have a handout that has references to the various statutes that I'll be referring to as we go through the testimony. 5011-19 provides for an original registration tax of 4% on aircraft and exemptions from the sales and use tax. It provides a specific exemption from the taxes specified in 1045 and 1046, which are the sales and use taxes. Chapter 50-1119.1 in paragraph 3, if you notice on page 3 of our handout, recognizes that home builds are made of various parts and components, and that the total value of these is used to establish the value of these aircraft. So between these two statutes, it's clear that the intent of the legislature has always been to tax aircraft by a different method than the retail sales. It's also clear that home-built aircraft are included in this method, and it's recognized that home-built aircraft are made of parts and components. This method of taxation has been accepted and used by the Department of Aeronautics for many years. Only recently, the Department of Revenue became aware that home builders in South Dakota purchased parts from sources outside the state and were building these aircraft. In consultation with an attorney for the Department of Revenue, they decided that parts do not constitute an aircraft, so the exemption in 501119 does not apply. This was a decision based on strict interpretation of individual words rather than any common sense understanding of how the tax system is intended to work. Specifically, they decided that engine does not equal aircraft, and that since there is not a specific exemption already in 1045 and 1046, the engine must be taxable. This then sets up a situation where the aircraft is taxed twice rather than the one time intended. In my case, this also adds a 2% city tax on the project, so in the end result is that I would be taxed a total of 10% on the project. There would be 6% on the parts and then 4% on the aircraft when it was registered as a complete aircraft. A number of possible solutions were considered, but the most simple and effective would be to place an exemption that you see before you in House Bill 1209 to make it clear to the Department of Revenue that aircraft are indeed made of parts and that these parts are exempt when used in the construction of new home-built aircraft. To be clear, though, this does not include repairs and maintenance of existing aircraft, which are taxable and always have been. Now, there's some other things that we want to consider with this legislation. First of all, is that there will be no significant financial impact. This tax has not been collected in the past on home-built aircraft parts. Home builders are already aware of the exemption provided for in 5011-19, and they do not pay the tax unless the Revenue Department forces a case such as they did with me. If you provide an exemption for a tax that has never been collected, there will be little, if any, net loss in revenue. The exemption is only needed to clarify to the Department of Revenue that they are not to be involved in the taxation of aircraft because aircraft are taxed in the aviation section of the law. Should they be allowed to begin taxing parts, it would be a new tax and could only be enacted by a constitutionally allowed method, either by an initiated measure from the people or by a two-thirds vote of the legislature, neither of which has happened here. What has happened to me is that an attorney in the Revenue Department has redefined existing law to suit his desires and therefore create a new tax. Now, there was a summer study by the legislature this last summer on sales tax exemptions where they reviewed all these different exemptions. And in that study, there were three basic principles of taxation that were established that we use in South Dakota. The first one is that there is a tax on everything. But in application, there is one tax on everything. Where other taxes are involved, such as a registration or an excise tax, the sales and use tax is not. Examples of this are like in automobiles. Automobiles are exempt from the sales and use tax. We see that in Chapter 32.5b1, which establishes a 3% excise tax on automobiles. It also further exempts automobiles from the sales and use tax specified in Chapter 1045 and 1046. If you're building your own car in your garage and it's a new, say a guy's building a hot rod or something, there's also a method by which if he pays taxes on any of the parts that he buys in South Dakota, he's allowed to take credit for that tax paid and not pay it twice when he registers his automobile. So the idea is there is one tax on this automobile. It's not taxed twice. In addition, boats are exempt from the sales and use tax. South Dakota Codified Law 32.3A50, which is on page 4 of your handout, imposes a 3% sales tax on boats in excess of 20 feet in length. It also notes an exemption from sales and use tax in 1045 and 1046. Interestingly, they have a specific exemption also in 1046-51 for these same boats so that they're not subject to a second tax. Passing House Bill 1209 will do nothing other than make sure that the Revenue Department administers the law as it was intended by the legislature in the same way as it does motor vehicles, boats, and other things subject to the excise tax. These home-built aircraft will be taxed as they always have been when they were registered. Keep in mind, this does not affect the repair and maintenance of existing aircraft. Those repairs are taxable and will be in the future. It's the same as with cars. If you are restoring an existing car, those repairs and maintenance are taxable. If you're building a new one, it is not. The second basic principle of taxation that the committee established was that sales and use tax is an end-user tax. It is not applied to manufacturers. Home builders are the manufacturers of these aircraft. When they're registered, the FAA registration lists the name of the home builder as a manufacturer, and they have all the liability and responsibility that goes with that title. It is no different than when Lehman Trikes imports a new motorcycle and modifies it to be a tricycle. They are not taxed on the parts and components of the product they produce. The tax is paid when the product is sold or when it's put into use. The same would apply to the home-built aircraft. Tax would be paid when the aircraft is put into use. The third principle is that the tax must have a practical application. It should be easy to use and to enforce. I would submit to you that the existing system meets this principle. When the aircraft is complete, the biller documents the value of the parts to the Department of Aeronautics and the tax is paid. In the case of aircraft, construction records are required by the FAA to have the aircraft registered and licensed on a federal level. So the documentation is always there in the case of these aircraft. Should the position of the Department of Revenue be taken, you will end up with chaos and a system that rewards the best smuggler. I can give you an example of this by how they've handled my situation. Recently, by using U.S. Customs reporting, the Department of Revenue became aware that in 2007, five different people imported aircraft engines from a company in Canada, of which I was one. They decided at that time to tax the engines and sent letters to the five builders requesting payment. Now, I paid that tax to preserve my legal rights and to appeal, but my appeal was denied because they said an aircraft engine is not an aircraft, so therefore it's not exempt. Another of the five that got letters had since completed his aircraft and sold it to somebody from another state. Although he had his engine for 2 years prior to registering the aircraft, the Department of Revenue said that he did not owe the tax because it was exempt under 501119. The lesson learned from that is that if you build it fast and hide the fact, then you are exempt. But if you build it slow and play by the rules, you end up being double taxed. And I would submit to you that's not a sustainable system for having people pay a voluntary tax. Finally, I'd like to point out to you that for this system to work, it cannot be done by giving credit for tax paid as you build against the registration tax on completion of the airplane, similarly to what they do in automobiles. The aircraft system funding is highly dependent on revenues from these registrations. Having tax diverted into the general fund may solve the problem of double taxation, but it will create a significant revenue shortfall for the Department of Aeronautics, which gets at least a 9-to-1 match from the federal government for these monies to maintain airports. 2/3 of the new aircraft registered in South Dakota each year are home-built aircraft. The impact of changing the funding source for the Department of Aeronautics could be very damaging to the maintenance of airports in the state. For all these reasons, I would encourage you to pass this bill and make taxation of home-built aircraft a clear and easy system to comply with that is not subject to the whims of the current staff of the Department of Revenue. I thank you for your attention, and I'll remain here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, sir. Are there further proponents to House Bill 1209? Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman Hansen, members of the committee, and thank you for this opportunity, and I might take this time to also to recognize Senator Hunstead from my own district, our wishes for speedy recovery. I am Lynn Sanderson from Condi. I'm a farmer, a pilot, and a manufacturer of record of a home-built aircraft. If you have walked through the Discovery Center here in Pier sometime in the last 20 years, you might have noticed a small plane hanging from the ceiling. It's been taken down now and put into storage, but it was designed, built, and flown by a group of engineering students and their instructor at SDSU in the 1980s. My cousin Don Sanderson was one of those students. Coming from our grandfather's farm at Condee, going to SDSU, building a home-built aircraft with their engineering class, and then going on to become an engineer for Boeing Aircraft, assigned to the development of the 787 Dreamliner project. The history of home-built aircraft has always been overshadowed by those who built on that interest and went on to greater things. Home-built aircraft is historically both the starting point and the silent partner in many of those accomplishments. According to the Experimental Aircraft Association, there are more than 32,000 home-built aircraft registered in the U.S. More than 15% of this nation's single-engine piston aircraft. Home-built aircraft designs and their builders have been responsible for bringing forward many of the advances to the benefit of aviation. And that has been true from the very first flight of the bicycle-building Wright brothers in 1903 to the 2004 flight of an aircraft designed by the nation's currently most famous home builder and aircraft designer, Bert Rutan, whose Spaceship One became the world's first privately funded, non-government-built aircraft to take humans into space and bring them safely back. Manned flight everywhere has benefited from this uniquely experimental nature of home-built aircraft and could not have been done without the freedom provided to individuals to build their own aircraft. Today, the industry of individuals involved in aircraft home building continues to provide the opportunity for education and recreation for those drawn to building and flying their own aircraft. As I said, I'm Lynn Sanderson from Condee. I have owned three home-built aircraft over the past 30 years, two of which I purchased from previous owners, paying the market price for those aircraft at the time of purchase and paying the required state registration tax in lieu of the sales tax, which supports our state's aviation infrastructure. It is the same tax requirement had I bought commercially built aircraft. That tax is applied fairly to all aircraft in the state. According to the FAA, their rules and regulations, every aircraft manufactured in the U.S. must register. And following an FAA inspection of that aircraft, it is issued an airworthiness certificate. As part of the information to be provided under those rules, the manufacturer's name must be submitted to the FAA. Please refer to the page that I have marked number one and printed from the FAA's own aircraft registry. In the yellow highlight, notice the manufacturer's name. It says Sanderson, R. Lynn. That's me. I am the manufacturer. I manufactured this aircraft under the FAA's rules for home-built aircraft. One point I need to make here is this. Home-built aircraft are manufactured and are just as manufactured as other aircraft. Sometimes a home-built manufacturing process is done by an individual owner over the course of many years. Sometimes they use faster methods of building. But regardless of the method chosen by the builder, home-building an aircraft is a manufacturing process. It is not a repair or a rebuilding process. And as such, the manufacturer of the home-built aircraft should not have to pay sales tax on the components used to manufacture it. Other manufacturers in this state do not. Imagine the effects of expanding that parts tax to components of manufacturing Federal Augers at Salem, or to one of my farm neighbors, Kevin Anderson at Andover, the co-inventor and manufacturer of Horsch Anderson seating equipment. That equipment is built on his farm. He should not and is not required to pay sales tax on the components that he uses to make those cedars. The sales tax are instead paid by the purchaser, just as the registration tax is paid by the builder of the home-built aircraft at registration time. It is only recently that home-built aircraft have been singled out for this double taxation. In this bill, 1209, we address the double taxation and also address the sales tax on the repairs and maintenance of home-built aircraft. This bill ensures that taxes will be paid on the repairs and the maintenance and will not be exempt from sales tax. I need also to speak to the impossibility of fairly applying the state's present interpretation of sales tax to home-built aircraft parts across the different construction methods that are used to build them. During the past 10 years, the home-built aircraft industry has evolved to include more manufacturing methods than just building an aircraft by one part at a time in a person's home or garage. Many are now purchased as partially assembled kits to be completed by the builder at his place of choosing, whether that be in that person's own garage or by the builder going to those components and then building the flyable airframe and engine in a rented space owned by someone else under an FAA-approved program with company assistance. These build programs are now offered by many aircraft kit companies. Vans Aircraft, easily the most popular home build of choice in South Dakota, has such a program, as does Zenith Aircraft, the company that makes the components for the second aircraft that I owned, a CH-701. Glass Air Company, the company which sent the individual pieces of the plane to which Randy is building, they also have a builder program called 2 Weeks to Taxi. Well, I used one of these same fast build programs to construct my present aircraft, a Dream Aircraft Tundra. I sent that picture around of that aircraft, and that picture was taken at Oshkosh when I, along with 6 other aircraft home builders, opened the air show on Wednesday during EAA's AirVenture 2010. That picture proves that these aircraft do get completed, owners do pay the registration tax, and these planes do fly. There are differences, though, in how people choose to build aircraft. Some people want to speed the build time and fly sooner. Some just feel they don't have 10 years and 2 marriages to spend on their plane, and I'm one of those guys. I did not have each individual part sent to me as I built. Instead, I went to the parts. This time, I'd have you refer to page marked to number 2 and the photo there. In 2006, with factory instruction, I assembled a Dream Aircraft Tundra to the point of having a flyable airframe at the end of the second week. And I had installed the engine and instruments by the third week. So now, if you would, please refer to the page mark number 3 and that photo. As part of the package program, I had the help of a factory-trained build partner who taught me the skills that I needed and also had the help of another shop person that would lay out the necessary tools and parts ahead to be used at the next build station, and that was the way it went every step of the way. This training and assist program by home-built aircraft suppliers has cut the time investment down by the builder to sometimes less than 3 weeks. Compare this to building one part at a time. There's no waiting 10 days for an ordered part to arrive. There's no driving 40 miles to Aberdeen to buy the right tool or the right supplies. No throwing out a part that maybe took 3 times to get right through trial and error methods. And in the end, there was no resulting loss of time that I would have spent on each of those attempts. I chose this method of building because, and I quote myself here, as an aging baby boomer aircraft builder, time has suddenly become more important than it used to be. So, I wanted to speed the process and eliminate the wasted time that is really not build time at all. Gathering of supplies, organizing workspace, picking up tools, and just the general head-scratching that goes with reading schematic plans and wondering what comes next. So now, I ask you again to look at the photos marked number 2 and number 3. They are the same aircraft. But the photos are taken at different times during the manufacture. When did those parts become an aircraft? At what point in this build process should the current interpretation of the sales tax on parts for home builds be applied? And then when should it be paid by the builder? And before you consider, and before you decide that, consider one more thing. As any good business person spending his own hard-earned money should assume, I did not settle the bill for those parts or for that factory assistance until I had completed that company program. That means that sometime after the stage of manufacture shown in photo number 3, where you see a complete aircraft, that is when I paid for my aircraft. But it is a home-built aircraft. What, then, did I buy at the time that I wrote the check? I intended to pay for a flyable aircraft, and that's just what I did. I ask again, did I buy parts or did I buy an aircraft? And at what point of manufacturing, in this process of manufacturing the aircraft, should the sales tax be applied to those parts that I used, and they were purchased after the aircraft was complete and I paid for it as a whole? The point is, there is no point in this manufacturing process that the current interpretation on taxing home-built aircraft parts can be fairly applied. The methods of building home-built aircraft vary too widely. The present interpretation and implementation of the sales tax on those parts is unworkable as applied to home-built manufactured aircraft. It should not be a determining factor of whether you pay parts tax, depending on whether each part was sent to you once at a time, or built in my own garage, or that I chose instead to go to the complete pile of parts and use someone else's garage and tools. It should not be a defining factor of whether I pay tax on those parts because I waited to settle the bill till I had it assembled. The law is ambiguous in its present interpretation. It cannot be fairly applied, and it sets a precedent for other manufacturers in this state, and it's just wrong. I urge you to pass 1209 and send it to the Senate floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sanderson. Further proponents? For the proponents to House Bill 1209. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 1209? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jan Talley, Department of Revenue. House Bill 1209 is a bill to exempt sales tax on certain parts and kits used to construct home-built aircraft. Currently, all parts and kits that are purchased are subject to tax. There is no exemption. In SDCL 5011-19, that provides for the 4% tax on aeronautics. That is when you register a plane. This is two separate transactions. The first thing happens when you purchase the engine. That's a transaction. Comes into South Dakota. The sales or use tax applies to it. The second transaction is when you actually register the plane, and then the 4% aeronautics tax applies to that. If you fix up, there was some testimony earlier about cars and things. If you fix up an old car or pickup in your garage, you have to pay sales tax on those parts, and you also do pay the vehicle registration tax on that particular car or pickup. The amount of the exemption, we've calculated at $40,000, which I think may be low. We based it on what DOT had registered the home-built aircraft. If a home-built aircraft is never registered, that would not be calculated in the tax base. The summer study on exemptions, which some of you were part of, produced two bills to repeal some exemptions. Those bills were defeated in committee. What I think the summer study found is once an exemption is in place, it's very difficult to repeal an exemption. We must resist additional exemptions to the sales tax. Our broad-based sales tax has made the sales tax a steady, reliable source of income, even in times of economic distress. Exemptions to the sales tax, as you well know, erode that sales tax base. I respectfully request that you defer this bill to the 41st day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tolley. Further opponents to House Bill 1209? Further opponents to House Bill 1209? Opponents, 1209. Seeing none, I would offer the sponsor an opportunity to rebut, or whoever you would choose.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, one thing I'd like to just clarify that the Department of Revenue stated is that with regards to building like a hot rod in your garage where there's two taxable events, they buy the parts and they pay tax and then pay registration tax later. They do not pay a registration tax on the value of the things that they've already paid a tax on. And the reason they don't do that is because of 32.5B11, where there's credit for taxes paid to this or another state. That system is set up so there's only one tax paid on automobiles, boats, and the intent is aircraft. It's not a two-time transaction thing. Where there's an excise tax on a product like a car, boat, or an airplane, that the idea is that we're taxed once, not twice.
Okay. We'll close public testimony on House Bill 1209 and open to questions from the committee. Senator Maher.
Ms. Talley. In proponent testimony, we heard that if you can build these planes fast enough and get that engine shoved into the hull or into the plane quick enough, there's no tax on that. Do they still technically owe tax on that, even though?
Ms. Tolley?
Mr. Chairman, yes, they would still owe tax on the engine, even though they built it rather quickly. We would still say that they owed tax on the engine.
Okay. Senator Lederman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the situation of the five that were asked to pay, did all five of them pay, or did only a portion of the five that were asked to pay the tax paid? How many of the five paid?
Ms. Tolley?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lederman, I don't have that information. I know letters were sent to them, and some of them have remitted the tax, but I don't know if all of them have.
Further questions? Senator Maher?
So let me get this. So if I'm building an airplane, the only thing I have to pay sales tax on then is the engine itself. I don't have to pay tax on the kit or anything else that comes along? Or how does the department assess that?
Ms. Tolley?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Maher, the department's interpretation is that they would owe tax on all of the kits, the engine, any parts or anything that they put into that aircraft to build it. So it would be on everything that is put into the aircraft.
So, Senator Frisley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jan Taylor, is there a problem with tracking the parts? Is there a problem with getting the parts in from a foreign country or another area of the state and not being able to have that record as to what parts went into the plane?
Ms. Tolley?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Frisley, the method that we found this is we found this information through U.S. Customs, and yes, you are correct. A lot of these parts and kits do come in from out of state and maybe even out of country to build these aircraft. So there is some difficulty with the department finding those individuals, and in this case, we did find it through U.S. Customs.
Senator Maher?
So we keep hearing about the difference of building a car versus an airplane. Can you go through that one more time? I'm not following the opposition here and where we're going with that.
Mr. Hall?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Maher, if, for instance, you had an old car that you were refurbishing or a car of your own that you were fixing, you would have to pay sales or use tax on the parts that you put into it. And you would have to pay the registration tax. I believe the proponents were speaking to if you actually built a car from scratch, like a kit or something like that. And if you did do that and then registered it, I believe the department does grant credit for the sales tax that was paid on that.
But we don't do that for airplanes.
Mr. Chairman, no, we don't.
Okay.
Senator Lederman?
Ms. Talley, so the registration tax that's paid for the vehicle that's built, does that go to the same place that the registration tax would go if you were registering a plane?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lederman, no, it would not. If you register a vehicle, that money is actually transferred to the highway fund, the vehicle excise tax. And when you register a plane and pay that 4% aeronautics tax, it funds the aeronautics.
Senator Frisley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There seems to be an insinuation that they're being double taxed. Could you clarify that for me, please?
Ms. Tully?
Ms. Chairman, Senator Frisley, we don't believe there's a double taxation issue here because there's actually two transactions. And in sales tax, you're dealing with transactions. The first transaction is the person purchased the engine or part. When they purchase that, there's sales or use tax on that. The second transaction is actually when they finish or complete the plane, and they're required to register the plane when it's flight ready, and they pay the 4% aeronautics tax on that. So it's two separate transactions. One is the payment of the sales and use tax on parts. The other is the payment of the aeronautics tax to register the plane.
Senator Nelson?
Just a follow-up, if I may. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the scenario you just described, if that were then a car vehicle, then there would be a credit on the sales tax for the parts used, the new engine or whatever that went into it. Is that the way I understood it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, what I understand about the vehicle excise tax, if you build a car, you know, you build it from a kit, there is a sales or use tax credit granted when you register the vehicle. But if you're simply repairing an old car in your garage, you would have to pay sales or use tax on the engine or parts. And there would be no credit granted when you register it.
Yeah, thank you.
Further questions? Chair would have a couple, if you'd be so kind as to stay there. Explain again how the registration fee is calculated, like on a vehicle, whether it be an airplane or a car. Where does labor enter into this? How is the value established that to be the basis for collecting that fee?
Mr. Chairman, what I understand with the aeronautics tax from looking at the statutes, what's included is the value of the parts that you put into the aircraft. It does not include the labor. Now, that's what I understand about the 4% aeronautics tax. With a vehicle, it's based on, you know, what you pay for the vehicle excise tax. And if it's a home-built kit, it would be the value of the parts.
Okay. And one other question, if this bill were to pass, would this extend to items that are, you know, like paint and bolts that are bought in small quantities, but where there's still a subject to sales tax?
Mr. Chairman, I believe with there was an amendment made to the bill in house tax, which referred to repair and maintenance items. I'm not quite sure how, if this bill did pass, if we would be able to distinguish between paint and parts that are actually going into a home-built aircraft or if they're actually repairing the home-built aircraft. It would be difficult to administer on an item like that, and it would be difficult for retailers to know if it's actually a repair or maintenance or if they're actually building a home-built aircraft.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Oh, I'm sorry.
Senator Nelson?
Just to clarify then, but all of those components, once put together and determined to be an aircraft, would be subject to the 4% tax when it's registered. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I understand that is correct because it's all the parts that go into the home-built aircraft to figure the aeronautics tax.
So there would be a, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, follow up.
Yes, sir.
There would be an opportunity to tax the whole project then, whether it's been previously taxed and they needed a bolt at a hardware store or something else, it would eventually be taxed as a whole.
Ms. Tolley.
Ms. Chairman, what I understand is it's when they pay the aeronautics tax on home-built aircraft, it's the value of all the parts and everything that they put into it, which would include paint and bolts and whatever.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Zuckel, I sense a difference of opinion. Would you like to answer those questions?
Yes, please. If, Mr. Chairman of the Committee,
yes, sir.
If you refer to my handout in Chapter 5011, 19.1, Paragraph 3, it's the top of page 3. This is existing statute that defines how the value is supposed to be established for a home-built aircraft. It says, for an aircraft manufactured by a person other than a bona fide manufacturer, commonly referred to as a home-built, the amount expended for materials, labor, and other properly allocable costs of manufacture or an absence of actual expenditures for the manufacturer of a part or all of the aircraft, the reasonable value of the completed aircraft based on trade publications. There's a very clear method that the Department of Aeronautics uses to establish the value of these, and they work out what that value is. But there is no exemption here for labor, contrary to what Ms. Talley said. It says in statute what is included in the value of these.
I guess I would have one other question. Is there a differentiation between labor provided by the builder as opposed to, as Mr. Sanderson indicated, there was some, I would assume, hired people that were involved in the project where there would be a labor cost?
I've yet to register my aircraft, so I don't know how they're going to handle that with me. But if I went to actually, I did take my aircraft to the factory for 1 week and got some help with that, and I got an invoice from them that establishes the value of that. So I would expect to pay a tax on that invoice. I also document all the labor that I have into my project, and when I go to the Department of Aeronautics to register this aircraft, I would expect them to deal with that. I don't know how they do, but I would expect them to deal with that because it's in the definition of the statute.
Okay, so you go to the Department of Aeronautics. Now, is this this is what determines the value from the state's Department of Revenue, or is this FAA?
This is the South Dakota Department of Aeronautics. This is not the FAA. We're not dealing with federal thing here as far as valuation. It's the South Dakota Department of Aeronautics. The secretary's name is Jennifer Clements, that actually works in the office that works with these. Bruce Lindholm is a program manager. It's all people you know, and they're your employees.
Okay. Further questions? Any further questions? Well, seeing none, we'll close the this segment of the hearing and open to committee discussion or action. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this was very adequately explained. I thank Representative Romkema and the doctor for bringing this bill to me. Honestly, it seemed, being on the House side, I've been a little distant from it until the last week or so, but I do understand the problem, and I think that... The doctor said it very well. You know, a lot of us were on the summer study for sales tax, and many of us felt a little stronger than others that there should be more taxes on things. But yeah, whether there is tax on stuff or whether we have granted an exemption, there should certainly only be one tax. And I think this illustrates that whether it's inadvertent or by design, there is a double taxation. And so I would encourage the committee to pass this out to the floor. And with that, I would move due pass on 1209.
Okay, we have a due pass motion from Senator Nelson. Is there a second? Second? I'm not seeing a second. Okay, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any further speaking to the due pass motion? Senator Lederman.
Substitute motion. Defer to the 41st day.
Okay, we have a substitute motion to defer to the 41st day. Is there a second to that? Seconded by Senator Frisley. Further speaking to your motion.
I think that, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I believe that we have a duty here as a tax committee to safeguard a system that spreads the tax base as far and wide as possible. And although I do agree with the comments made from the previous speaker, if there is not an existing exemption in place on a certain industry or product, I don't believe that we should make the exemption here. I believe that cars and planes are two different things, and I think it's an apples to oranges comparison. So I would urge the defeat of the bill. Thank you.
Senator Nelson?
I encourage you to resist the motion to the 41st day. Again, this is a recent determination by the department. It is the potential for the revenue loss is a potential loss. It's nothing that's been experienced so far. If this is indeed something that needs to be fixed by the department, I think we should extend the exemption. Obviously, the aircraft that are being built are subject to up from a 10% tax, which is exorbitant for the state of South Dakota, in my opinion, and it is a double taxation. I think it's improper. I hope you resist the motion. We can pass this bill and proceed to have the department then bring us something that corrects it or makes it more palatable for them.
Further comments? Further comments? Seeing none, I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll. Those favoring the 41st day motion say aye. Those opposed say no.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hunstead's excused. Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
No.
Nygaard's excused. Lederman?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Four yes, one no, two excused.
Okay, the 41st day motion prevails on a 4-1 vote. So it will be... completes the business for the bill consideration for today. I would like to meet again on Monday. The purpose of that meeting will be to allow you to bring forth any suggestions that you might have for summer study subjects. And so that'll be 10 o'clock Monday, February 27th. With that, a motion to adjourn would be in order. Moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Frisley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.